Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
Good morning. Today's reading will be from John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18, and John chapter 7, verses 37 to 44. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning Him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of His fullness, we have all received the grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made Himself known." I'll now be reading John chapter 7, verse 37 to 44. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still, others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not the Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus, the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, that was so, so good. Thank you so much, Wonder Squad, Holy Helpers, Tiny Prophet, and Pedram, who put that all together. Many, many hours. What I loved about what the Wonder Squad and the Holy Helpers did was that they were asking the question, why? Not just what happened at Christmas, but why it happened. And I think kids are really brilliant at that. But why? But why? But it's the most important question that we can ask. Don't stop at how. And let's go to why. So what I mean is this. Say I want to have a cup of tea. Well, I'm boiling water in the kettle. How does that happen? Well, the electricity flows, the element gets hot, the water starts to boil as bubbles appear, etc. But the why is because I need a cup of tea. Alarm clock. How? Well, it wakes me up, ringing, vibrating, never letting me snooze, makes a terrible noise. But the why? Well, I need to be awake. I need to get to work. Christmas lunch. Well, how does it happen? Some people have spreadsheets, but shopping, chopping, cooking, chaos, this is the how. But the why? Because we want to be together. A delicious meal, sitting around a table, helps us to celebrate, to belong, and to mark the day as special. So how answers are about the process, but why is about the purpose.
Now, at Christmas time in Australia, we're pretty good at how. So, for example, we do lights and songs and food and presents and Maya Christmas windows. Yeah. This is this year's. I didn't get to go, but my sister went and she sent me some photos. It's a Lego one and really fantastic. And Christmas should be about colour and creativity and joy and fun. And of course, when you get to the end of the windows, you do see a little why. You get the scene, Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And it's really good that we can have the kind of little glimpse of why you've got Lego or pigs or other various animatronics, all the windows before. But it doesn't tell us the full why, does it? It doesn't tell us these questions that the Wonder Squad asked. Why was there a baby? Why did God do it this way? Why in a stinky manger? Why did God want to come close at all? Well, we've been reading through John's Gospel this Advent and Christmas. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, John doesn't start with shepherds or angels or Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem. He starts with meaning. He starts with why Christmas happened. And he starts with big. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Everything that was made through him. But to explain the whole meaning, the whole why, he uses a big word, glory. So we almost got it. We got, behold, what did we have? We had holding the glory or something, and then we had the holy, beholding the holy, and something about glory over here. But John uses the word glory because he wants us to know that everything that is God, his life, his goodness, his love, his power, his holiness and rightness and justice and majesty and transcendence and all those big words that mean everything wonderful that we long to be a part of and we long for our world to be saturated in, that's glory. But the problem is that glory, as we saw from the start, at the beginning was the Word and everything was made through him, it's too much for us. It's too much for us. God is too big, too glorious, too different from us, too holy. So hard for us to understand if we're left to work it out for ourselves. More big words the Bible uses would be immortal, invisible, unapproachable, indescribable. And so there needs to be something that brings that glory to us. The Word became flesh, John says, and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God didn't say, get up here to get a better vision of my glory. God didn't say, behave yourselves more, climb up the ladder of moral duty and you'll catch me. He didn't shout from the sky. He didn't stay far away. He came close. Close enough to be held, to cry, to be sniffed at by sheep. So good, Abby, Sarah, you committed. Close enough to grow and learn and laugh and get tired. God wants to be close to us. That's part of the glory of God, not just his holiness and rightness and transcendence and majesty and indescribable, but actually His love for us that he wants to be close to us, not distant, not frightening, not untouchable. Now still big, still holy, still wonderful, but somehow living right in the middle of us in love and friendship. Now, that needs more why, I think. And so I want to introduce you to a word called grace. Jesus came from the Father full of grace and truth. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. You see, we can't climb up into God's glory. We can't earn our way and climb the moral ladder. But God can give us what we can't do. And so grace, a gift, is how God lets us come into his glory. That everything good that we've always longed for can actually be ours. Grace. Now, Jesus in himself holds more grace than we could ever have imagined. He is in his fullness, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. God had already taken the initiative to know people in the Old Testament. That's grace. Before that, he took the initiative to make us. That's grace. But now, he's come to be with us. Grace upon grace upon grace. Grace in place of grace already given. Grace means God opens the way. God makes it safe to be in his glory. God makes it possible. But we actually need another how. And that's where we get to John chapter 7. Now, I've loved the fact that we've done a little bit extra in John, not just chapter 1, this Advent and Christmas. And if you do read John's Gospel, you'll find that the themes that are in chapter 1 start popping up as these little codes in chapters 3 and 5 and 7, numbers as well. But here, you've got some code, right? So I haven't got it up on the screen, but I wonder if you heard the word Bethlehem, right? It says, well, who can this guy be? Didn't he turn up from Galilee? We thought the Messiah was supposed to come from Bethlehem. Now, John hasn't mentioned Bethlehem in chapter 1, but boy, does he know the story. And so he says, what's happening here is the fulfillment of what was going on in chapter 1 when Jesus, full of grace and truth, born tabernacling among us, pitching his tent, living with us, would come and give us grace for glory. And so in chapter 7, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, hang on a second. Chapter 1, he's already told us he's made his home, his tent, his tabernacle with us. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus, on the last and greatest day of the festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, stands up and says in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Oh, that's good. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And then John helps us to understand by this Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Wait, I thought you said that we have seen his glory, born as a baby. Look at this beautiful, incredible everything, angels and star and shining and Jesus, born as a baby. What do you mean he had not yet been glorified? Well, John's really, really careful. He wants us to know that the Christmas story, Jesus being born, is only part of God's how plan to bring us into his fullness of grace and glory. And the end of that plan is when Jesus is on a cross. So in John's gospel, glory starts here, but it's seen most powerfully when Jesus is on the cross, dying for everything that has kept people away from the good and the big and the powerful and the loving and the holy God. And so, with this how, Jesus dying on the cross, and then Jesus rising to life again, something is done that enables humankind to receive his grace and glory, and in a way that is experienced right now, that is meaningful right now, that actually changes who I am right now. And so you can actually go to a further why in some of the questions that I was talking about. So I boil the kettle, I want a cup of tea, more likely a cup of coffee, and that's the why. But actually, I want a cup of coffee because I need to wake up. Because my day is starting, because I want something warm, I want something comforting. There's some whys and some needs underneath even I want a cup of tea or coffee. I set the alarm, the circuits go and the electricity and the sound and my ears and but the why is I need to get up. But the deeper why is I need to go to work because I need to earn some money. I mean, that's not why I do this job, of course. But adults in general need to earn money so that they can put food on the table and then you've got the Christmas lunch. So there is a deeper why even underneath those questions. And Jesus is now telling us the deeper why. He wants us to have the Spirit of God living with us and in us. So he says, anyone who is thirsty, I think I'll go the bigger one, come to me and drink. That's really good. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Christmas shows us God's glory coming close. Easter shows us the how we can access that glory, but the why is so that we can have that glory with us and in us and going to everyone we meet. So when we come to the baby, we come to the one who grew up, who taught us, who then died on a cross, rose again, and poured out the very presence, glory, big love, power, holiness, rightness, transcendence of God, so that all of us can drink of it. That's quite large. That's very good. Now, I don't know whether you feel like you can just have this much this Christmas. Maybe you're not sure how much you can kind of take of Jesus. But can I encourage you to take a sip? To say to Jesus this Christmas, okay, I do need you. And I want to taste and see that you are good. I want to go, that actually is good. And then maybe in the new year I'm going to get more confident. Maybe in the new year I'm going to say, yes, Lord, I think I actually do need a lot more of you. I understand that what you offer me is exactly what I need. So, that's good. But you know what? I don't feel like I'm really overflowing yet. I am a woman of a certain age. It's going to happen. But you might think, okay, Lord, I really want people to experience you through me. I want to come to you and drink More and more and more. Even this Christmas, even going away from today. I want more so that others can be refreshed by me. But maybe what you need is to know that it doesn't matter what you think you can handle. It doesn't matter whether you think, I've got only a tiny thirst for Jesus, I want to keep him in my back pocket. It doesn't matter if you think, I need to have more glory in my life, I'm going to go for it. It doesn't matter how big the need, how big your pain, how big your questions, how empty you feel, how full you feel. Because Jesus has more than enough.
Oh, this is a mistake.
It's so good. From his fullness, he gives to us. There is never going to be an emptiness in what he offers. He comes to us as a baby, but because of all that he does, grows up, teaches us about God, dies on a cross, rises to new life, and pours out the very presence, the very Spirit of God. We don't just admire God's glory. We don't just celebrate it with a great Christmas lunch. We receive it. We drink of it. And it changes not only us, but everyone around us. God wants to be close, so close that we received him into our very selves. Jesus shows how much he loves us. The cross and resurrection show us how far he'll go to make sure we can drink of him, and the Spirit is how that life comes to us today. Jesus still says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come and drink." And there is more than enough. Let's pray as the band comes up. Loving God, we thank you that you are not distant or hidden, but you came close to us in Jesus. We thank you for the glory we see in his life, for the love we see at the cross, for the new life we see in the resurrection. Thank you that from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For those of us who feel tired today, help us to drink from you. For those who feel hopeful, help us to drink from you. For those who feel unsure or searching, help us to drink from you. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive all that you are, to trust that there is enough, and to live from the grace that you pour out as we experience your glory. Amen.